Lake Huron rolls, Superior sings, in the room of her ice water mansion. Old Michigan steams like a young man's dreams. The islands and bays are for sportsmen. And farther below, Lake Ontario takes in what Lake Erie can send her. And the iron boats go, as mariners all know, with the gales of November remembered. Gordon Lightfoot from his song, The Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald.
You are listening to Two Creepy Bees, a podcast where two sisters obsessed with the macabre talk spirits, urban legends, aliens, and the occult. Essentially, anything that tingles your spines and bumps your gooses. I'm Bethany.
And I'm Bailey.
And we're your two creepy co-hosts.
Creepy. Oh my gosh. Hello. Welcome back.
Hey, everybody.
Welcome back to another episode, a long-awaited episode of Two Creepy Bees. Oh, boy. It's been an interesting couple of weeks, hasn't it?
Yeah, it has.
Not the most fun.
So, first, Bethany's cat, Abby, got into a bunch of garlic.
Bless her soul, but oh my God. I wanted to kill her.
Yeah. So we had to postpone recording for that just because there's a lot of time involved at the vet, and also Bethany just really needed to keep an eye on her.
Yeah, I had to take her back like every other day for blood work, and because it was the weekend, there were only emergency vets open, so we spent the first time, we were there for like 5 hours. It was nuts. And then the second time, only there for like an hour and a half, but, and then Monday we had to keep watching her and everything. She's fine. But yeah, so was what first delayed us. And then,
I tested positive for COVID. And I was pretty sick for about a week. So I really wasn't, you know, able to record. Yeah. But I'm feeling better.
Finally on the mend.
Yeah, and I'm a believer in science. I have pretty much done everything in my power to not get COVID. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so, it's still.
Yeah. Still. But I mean, I am a frontline worker, and I do work with the public, so there was always a chance that it was going to happen. But luckily, me and my husband are on the mend, and hopefully I'll be going back to work this
Yay!
Week.
Yay! Yeah, it was definitely scary when you told me that you had COVID, because you're pretty miserable there for a few days. Luckily, none of the respiratory symptoms, thank God, but like it just sounded like so painful, like, to your body, like, just the aches.
I was really, really achy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was really painful, but, mm-hmm. but, yeah, luckily I didn't have the severe respiratory symptoms.
Thank God, yeah.
And, you know, I started to, my fever started to go down on its own, mm-hmm. and I was able to stay at home and recover, and, yeah, so Here we are.
We're very sorry that it's taken us so long to get this episode out, but it was kind of just like one punch after another. So, mm-hmm. yeah. Hope you can understand. You know, Tucson is apparently like one of the biggest hotspots for COVID mm-hmm. in the world, so that's super fun. Doug Ducey, you want to do something mm-hmm. about that? You want to, I don't know, maybe close restaurants and bars for dine-in? I don't know. Want to...
Nah.
It's fine. Let's pretend like nothing's happening. Yeah. I could talk all day, but I'm feeling hopeful. Bailey's feeling better. We just watched the inauguration of President Joe Biden and Madam Vice President mm-hmm. Kamala Harris. So that's a small victory that we had, and so I'm feeling optimistic. How about you?
Yeah, for sure. Good. Yeah, it was very emotional.
Yeah, I cried when Kamala Harris got sworn in. Tears in my eyes.
I cried, like, the whole time. I just like, oh my god. Oh my god.
I know. It's like, we've been waiting for this day for 5 long years.
Yeah, and the poet laureate.
Oh my gosh.
Oh my gosh. She was awesome.
It was.
I think she was probably the best speaker.
She was. Her poem was beautiful. And and she's only 22. Amanda Gorman. Mm-hmm. Yeah, only 22. Mm-hmm. I'm just like, dang.
I know.
Oh, yeah. It was really nice to watch. So, we're back. We hope that you guys are doing all right. Hope that you guys are hanging in there. And, yeah. Should we just hop into this since it's been so long awaited?
Let's hop in.
We haven't even introduced the topic. So, today...
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my
goodness. It's like we've never done this before. So today's episode is kind of harkening back, not to our roots, but kind of to our era where we spent a lot of our childhood. It's Ghosts of the Great Lakes, baby.
Woo!
Yeah, so in case you don't know, I hope you know, the Great Lakes are an amalgam of amazingly deep and large lakes that are in the northeastern part of the United States and in reaching into Canada. They're amazing. They're a really important part of our economy and a really important part of this country ecologically. But they also got a whole heck of a lot of ghost stories surrounding them. You know, I don't know why I said ghosts like that. I watched Fargo last night, so I think I'm a little...
Between that and your wine crime obsession.
I'm surrounded by Minnesotan accents. And one of my coworkers is Minnesotan. Well, she lived in Minnesota, so I'm just like, I am... Can I be Minnesotan? Am I, like, a honorable...
I feel like you're kind of an honorary Minnesotan.
Yes, thank God. Okay.
But I can't really grant you that, because I'm not
Minnesotan. It's true. Well,
so...
Let's pretend. Okay. So, yeah. So, just a really brief introduction to the Great Lakes before we hop into the ghost stories. We have four separate ghost stories for you, spanning a different variety of topics. But... I think there's literal books all about the ghosts of the Great Lakes because there's so many. And we'll kind of get into a little bit why. They're just, yeah. Let me just get into this introduction, okay? So the Great Lakes are the largest group of freshwater lakes in the world. They cover 94,250 square miles. So this colossal group of lakes, which includes Lake Superior, Lake Michigan, Huron, Erie, and Ontario, was carved out and then subsequently filled by large receding glaciers at the end of the Ice Age. So they are ancient and deep lakes. The Great Lakes contain nearly 20% of the world's surface freshwater and 85% of North America's surface freshwater.
That's crazy.
It's kind of crazy how much we depend on the Great Lakes. So the lakes contain so much water and cover such a vast area that they have actually been referred to as inland seas because they actually have a lot of attributes that make them similar to seas. So they're subject to things like large rolling waves, sustained winds, really strong currents, and some seriously great depths that are normally attributed to seas and oceans. So they're pretty incredible ecologically. There's a whole lot I wanted to talk about, but then I was like, it's not that relevant. But they're actually really cool. I did a little bit of a study in my undergrad through some of my classes looking at a bit of the ecology and the hydrology of the Great Lakes. They're amazing. Anyway, I'm also biased because I lived right by Lake Erie.
Yeah.
So the Great Lakes, kind of as I mentioned, just because of those attributes that make them like a sea, they are absolutely gorgeous, but they are definitely a dangerous place for a dip at times. And we'll kind of get to that. They've been home to quite a few shipwrecks.
Mm-hmm.
So many shipwrecks. But we'll get into that. So like I said, we have four ghostly tales of things that have occurred in the various Great Lakes. And Bailey, why don't you kick us off with perhaps one of the most popular tales of the Great Lakes?
But yeah, this next story I definitely find interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Before I started, I just wanted to give a shout out to Beth because she did everything in this episode. Because I had a really busy week at work.
Right before she got sick.
Yeah. So I just wanted to give credit where credit is due. I did not do any of this.
Well, thank you. Maybe don't tell anyone that because they might be like, why is this writing so poor?
Oh, stop. Anyway, so I am going to be talking about, hate the name, but it's called Old Whitey. A popular pastime in the Great Lakes is wreck diving. There's an abundance of ships that have gone down in the lakes, and we'll get to it soon. But one of the most notorious wrecks is that of the SS Kamloops. On the freezing, foggy night of December 6th, the ship was sailing alongside the Quiddock, making slow progress due to a heavy north gale on Lake Superior. The captain of the Quiddock suddenly saw a large, dark mass appear in the water before then. The Quiddock was able to quickly turn to avoid it while also sounding a danger signal to the Kamloops. However, since visibility was so poor, it was never known if the Kamloops heard this signal and was able to turn in time. The Quiddock made it to its destination, but the Kamloops never arrived. Search efforts ensued starting December 12th, but by the 26th, all hope was lost. In the springtime, fishermen from Isle Royale, Michigan, found the remains of some of the crew and parts of the ship near Kamloops Point, also in Michigan. The ship wasn't found until 1977, nearly 50 years later. It was in nearly perfect condition, and no one could quite understand what caused it to sink. When wreck divers swim down to the Kamloops and find their way to the engine room, they will see the well-preserved corpse who has been nicknamed, quote, Old Whitey, for its appearance. Whose spirit is known as...
it's calcified.
...is Grandpa. Well, so the corpse is covered in corpse wax called adipocere.
Oh.
And...
oh, that's what it is. I thought it was just calcified.
No, so that is why it's called... the corpse is called Old Whitey because it's covered in the white adipocere, so corpse wax. I wish I had more information as to why it's covered in corpse wax, but that's all I know. It's corpse wax, and that's why they call that corpse Old Whitey. So there is apparently a spirit that accompanies the corpse of Old Whitey, nicknamed Grandpa.
I thought it was that Old Whitey's spirit is Grandpa.
Did I say it backwards? Like,
you said it accompanies him. It's so old. So Old Whitey's is the body, but Grandpa is the spirit.
I guess that's what I meant to say. But
I gotcha.
Bethany is correct. So Old Whitey is known to float up behind divers and follow them through the engine room.
No thanks.
Despite how frightening this may seem, Old Whitey or Grandpa has never seemed angry or upset with divers. People say he seems to be happy to have the company.
It's like, that's like sweet, but also kind of sad. Because like, how often do wreck divers get down there, you know what I mean? To like spend time with Old Whitey. Not very yet.
The name.
I know. It's all unfortunate names. Old Whitey and Grandpa. Like,
I don't like either of those.
I don't like it either. I wish someone could have found out the chap's actual name, but...
I know.
But, I mean, at the point that his body was found, unrecognizable, obviously, you know what I mean? So,
right. Mm-hmm.
So, what can you do? So, yeah, Old Whitey is definitely one of the more popular spirits that dwells in the Great Lakes. But there's also another pretty... I don't want to say notorious because... well, actually, kind of notorious spirit that... that dwells upon Lake Erie. And I'm going to warn you, this is definitely a little bit sad. I was sad. And this is about the Black Dog of Lake Erie. Okay. So this ghostly legend takes place near the Welland Canal, which is a shipping canal in Ontario, Canada, that connects Lake Ontario to Lake Erie. So around 140 years ago, a ship called the Mary Jane sailed across Lake Erie with the ship's mascot, a large Newfoundland dog, on board. Somehow, while traversing the canal, the dog fell overboard and was crushed by the gate of the canal lock.
Oh my God.
I know. It just, It is said that because of the crew's inability or unwillingness to save him, the dog haunted the crew, torturing them with bellowing howls that persisted throughout the night, depriving them of sleep. So, not only this, but the black dog is actually said to appear aboard ships that are headed for trouble. So, it's kind of like a, not like a harbinger, a warning, mm-hmm. ghost. Yeah, so materializing the ship, dog ghost will materialize on the ship's deck, sometimes climbing aboard from the water, and then it will actually cross the ship. Like the ship deck, and then jump off the other side is what it commonly does whenever it visits a ship that is bound for trouble. So the dog's ghost has been linked to the 1881 wreck of the Mary Jane, the ship who it was originally a mascot of in Lake Erie. The apparition has apparently even traveled to some of the other Great Lakes, having been spotted on doomed ships in Lake Ontario and Lake Michigan.
Dang.
So that pupper's out for a little bit of revenge, or not, or he's out there, because that's what the articles I was reading made it sound like. The dog was, you know, angry, probably understandably, at the crew of the Mary
Jane. Dogs aren't spiteful.
Dogs aren't spiteful. Except They're Boyo. So full of, except for Boyo. Yeah, Bailey's dog. he is definitely spiteful. And then he's just trying to warn other people that, like, hey, you're in trouble. Like, here I am. Yeah. You know what I mean? So it's a sad tale, but at least the sweet Newfoundland tries to warn other ships of upcoming doom.
Yeah, it is interesting how the black dog is such a poignant symbolism for doom.
I know, in everything. But, like,
I know.
How could you look at a sweet Newfoundland and be like, yep, doom?
Well, if someone hasn't seen one, they might think it's a bear.
I guess that's true. Oh, my God. They're so cute. Oh, I love Newfoundlands.
So the next myth, lake
creature,
I don't know, lake legend, is called the Mishibaija. The Mishibaija, as it is called by the Ojibwe peoples, is a daunting water-dwelling creature that has been spotted in Lake Superior and also inhabits Michibukoten Island. Accounts of early French and English settlers report seeing a water creature resembling a large lizard, but stories of the First Nations refer to the Mishibaija as a water-bound cat. The Mishibaija, or water panther, is a mythical figure that is described by many indigenous peoples of the Great Lake, including the Algonquin, Ottawa, Menominee, Shawnee, and Cree tribes. Details of the creature's appearance vary between communities, but it is frequently described as a mix between a cougar and dragon. Sometimes the water panther is depicted as a creature with the body of a horned lynx with scales and webbed paws, or being furry with deer antlers and a sharp sawtooth back. Ooh. Again, its size varies as well. Some say the beast is gigantic, or it is the size of a lynx or mountain lion. Regardless of its appearance, it's definitely known as a dangerous, powerful creature that can cause people to drown. To the Algonquins, the water panther was the most powerful underworld being. The Ojibwe traditionally viewed them as masters of all water-bound animals, including snakes. Additionally, some versions of the Ojibwe's Nanabazo creation myth refers to whole communities of water panthers or lynxes living together. Whoa, I don't think I want to see a whole colony of a furry antlered creature with a sharp sawtooth back, or a mix of a cougar and a dragon.
Yeah, it'd be a little alarming. But just for some reference, I forgot to put in there that Nana Bozo is kind of this Ojibwe trickster figure and a bit of a culture hero. It's definitely known for including, he's a very popular character in creation myths, in the world creation myths. So I just wanted to give that a little context. Unfortunately, I apologize, forgot to put that in my notes. But I think the Mishibaija is like such a cool myth, because it's just like there are so many different First Nations that inhabit the Great Lakes region, but they all kind of share a similar myth of the water panther. And I don't know, I just thought it was so cool. And then, you know, there is the mention of you know, French and English settlers who came in so much after these native peoples were there, and they like saw something too. I don't know. It's just so cool. I like the idea. For sure. I mean, I don't like the idea that Cosby.
Well,
drowned,
no, but it is cool. Interesting when certain myths and legends, you know, cross barriers of, you know, cultural barriers.
Absolutely, absolutely. So, as mentioned in our first segment, we're gonna be talking about some other shipwrecks. Specifically, we're going to be talking about some of the Great Lakes' most notorious ghost ships. Only a couple, because for the love of God, there are 8 different ghost ships that haunt the Great Lakes. So, yeah, okay. So the Great Lakes have seen their fair share of shipwrecks, so it is no wonder that there are so many sightings of ghost ships. They are collectively known as the Ghost Fleet. Not a ghost ship, just the Ghost Fleet. Yeah. Like I said, there's literally 8 different ghost ships that haunt the Great Lakes, so I'm just going to cover a few of them. Okay, so the oldest and likely very first ghost ship of the Great Lakes is the Griffin. The Griffin set sail, or as it was originally known, Le Griffon, set sail from the shores of Lake Erie from Niagara on August of 1679 for its very last voyage. The ship's captain, René de La Salle, built the 40-ton vessel to ship supplies to and from France for his various expeditions to New France, which are kind of like generally some eastern portions of U.S. Canada. The ship's final expedition was along a dangerous route through the Straits of Mackinac and into Lake Michigan. So the Griffin anchored near Green Bay, Wisconsin. Go Packers! To offload its cargo. Afterwards, the crew headed back to Niagara to get another load of supplies. When the Griffin set sail from Wisconsin, the weather conditions were favorable. But as soon as they left Washington Harbor, which is just outside of Green Bay, it's a bay that is called Green Bay, just for some context. the vessel, along with all of its 6 crew members, seemingly just vanished without a trace. When they didn't arrive back in Niagara, no one had a clue about what had happened to them. Though the ship most likely sunk by an anticipated fierce storm. Like I said, the Great Lakes are subject to pretty dramatic weather changes and weather patterns. Some tried to blame it on a curse, but we're not going to talk about that because it's literally scapegoating and blaming it on an Iroquois man, so fuck that. So anyway, since its disappearance, there have been tales of sailors seeing a glowing, ghostly, antiquated ship that emerged from the fog banks on Lake Michigan. Legend has it that the Griffin enjoys setting itself up to collide with other vessels in a game of paranormal chicken, only to vanish right before disaster. It's said that on a very foggy night, the Griffin can sometimes be seen sailing around Michigan Harbor. The physical wreck of the Griffin has never been definitively recovered, but it is, as you can imagine, highly sought after since wreck diving is such a big deal in the Great Lakes. Okay, so probably the most well-known ghost ship however, of the Great Lakes is the Bannockburn. The Bannockburn was a Canadian freighter captained by George R. Wood that disappeared on Lake Superior on November 21st, 1902, along with the crew of 21. On the ship's final voyage, it was sighted several times off the Isle Royale, which we talked about earlier, which is by Michigan, by Captain James McMaw of another freighter, the Algonquin. But then he suddenly and inexplicably lost sight of the Bannockburn. At the time, McMaw, though confused, thought it was likely due to the fog that rolled in, signaling an incoming storm. The Bannockburn never arrived at its scheduled destination. Family of the crew, obviously concerned, rounded up a search party to go out looking for the ship, but it was never found. 5 days later, it was officially declared as lost. Official reports explained that the ship had probably been beached on Caribou Island, a treacherous area with many reefs, after a lighthouse had been turned off, which, what? Like, that's all I saw was that a lighthouse around the area of Caribou Island had been turned off. Why would you turn off a lighthouse, especially during a storm? Anyway, yeah, so the exact nature of the disappearance was never discovered. Since its mysterious disappearance, and to this day, the Bannockburn has been seen haunting the waters of Lake Superior. The ship has been spotted so frequently that it has earned the nickname as the Flying Dutchman of Lake Superior. So if you personally want to try your luck at sighting this phantom vessel, your best bet is to head to the waters between Port Arthur, Michigan, and the Sioux Locks between Lake Superior and Huron. So, P.S., the Kamloops, which you covered earlier, mm-hmm. is considered to be another member of the Ghost Fleet of the Great Lakes.
Aw, Grandpa's probably on that boat.
Yeah, probably. So, yeah, that is our short and sweet episode on the ghosts of the Great Lakes.
Yeah. What was your favorite one?
I honestly really, I just liked researching and talking about the ghost ships, because I'm kind of, oh my god, I'm embarrassed, but have you ever seen the movie Ghost Ship?
I think we...
So bad.
Wait, did we try to watch it together?
It's the one that I told you about that I rewatched recently, where, like, in the beginning scene, spoilers, this, like, wire cuts a bunch of people in
half.
Yeah,
didn't we watch it together?
I don't think we watched it together. I watched it by myself, and then...
No, I watched some of it with someone recently.
Oh, that's right. I think you caught the tail end with me. No, so ridiculous.
We watched the beginning, because I watched everyone get cut up, except the little girl.
Huh. It's possible. But yeah. So, I don't know, like... I'm so lame, but, like, that's what I was thinking of when I was, like, researching this, even though that movie is so freaking stupid. But I don't know. I really like reading about the ghost ships because I also like learning about shipwrecks, which is kind of, like, morbid and sad, but hello, the nature of this podcast. How about you? What was your favorite tale?
I think my favorite tale was about the Griffin.
The Griffin, mm-hmm. Yeah, it's definitely a really cool one, especially concerning like the first ghost ship.
Mm-hmm. Paranormal Chicken with other boats.
Yeah, I know. Honestly, you guys, like, there are so many ghost stories about the Great Lakes. Like, it was kind of overwhelming. Like, when we had this idea for a topic, I was like, oh, yeah, we'll just get some stories. But, like, there's so many. It's really hard to choose from. We didn't talk about some obvious ones. Like, you know, the Great Lakes is known pretty notoriously for the wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald, but we didn't want to talk about that because, like, there's really just not a lot of paranormal activity surrounding the Edmund Fitzgerald, though it is a serious tragedy. You know, there's a lot of history about the Great Lakes.
Absolutely. And well, they're ancient.
Also, yeah, they're ancient. And, oh, also there's, like, kind of like a Loch Ness monster of, like, their own Nessie. I can't remember what it's called, though, of the Great Lakes. So if you're interested in lake history and ghosts surrounding that region, just look it up. It's so cool. So cool. Also, I don't know. It was a little bit, like, nostalgic for me to read about this stuff because, like, I haven't been back to PA and, like, the surrounding area in, like, 2 years. And I lived so close to Lake Erie for about 4 years. It feels like, I don't know, it was nice. It was nice to do a little research on the area. Did you?
Well, guess what?
Oh, no. What?
The lake monster is named Bessie.
Bessie? Is it Lake Erie?
Yeah.
Okay, that's what I thought. Lake Erie
monster.
Yeah, I remember, like, seeing something, like, when I went to school in Northwestern PA about Bessie, but I didn't look into it too much. Surprise.
Bessie.
So if you want, instead of Nessie, we got Bessie. Go visit Lake Erie.
So apparently it's reported to be snake-like, 30 to 40 feet long, and at least a in diameter. Damn, she thick.
She a thick one. Honestly, it's probably from all of just the industrial runoff that went into Lake Erie in, like, the early 1900s. Just mutated a snake. It's fine. They're much cleaner now. They're much nicer. I'm a very strong advocate for visiting the Great Lakes because a lot of the cities that lie along it are in the Rust Belt. They could use a little... use a little boost to the economy, and honestly, there's a lot of great places in them.
Mm-hmm.
I got a little love for Erie. A little bit of love. What are you looking at?
All these lake monsters.
I know. There's actually there's
so many.
There's a few. There's a few different reported lake monsters in the Great Lakes.
Lake monster in Bear Lake. Which is in Idaho and Utah, named Isabella.
Aw, Isabella the lake monster.
Head variously described as being similar to that of a cow, otter, crocodile, or walrus, minus the tusks. It's said to be at least 50 feet long and light cream in color.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Huh.
It looks like in Lake Ontario, there's Kingstie?
Oh, yeah.
Descriptions over the years have been inconsistent, with color ranging from blue to brown, a large head or no head at all, bristled or bald, teeth like an alligator, or toothless. It'd be anybody.
All right, well, I guess you can try to get your fill of lake monsters up at the Great Lakes and in Utah, I guess.
Yeah, don't worry, guys. There's plenty of lake monsters everywhere.
So many lake monsters for your enjoyment. Yeah, well, thank you guys so much for your patience in this episode.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, we're trying to also, like, make them just, like, a tiny bit shorter, a little bit more short-form content from, like, anywhere from, like, 30-ish to, like, 45 minutes long. So bear with us as we're trying to, like, find that sweet spot, you know what I mean? It definitely didn't help that these last few weeks were a shit show. It's okay, though. It's all right. I need to stop talking in a Minnesotan accent. Fargo really got me messed up. real hard. But yeah, so we will see you guys in a couple of weeks. And I don't know, just hope y'all are doing well.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for taking the time to listen. And we wish you guys and your families, you know, health and happiness during these wild times.
Wild new times. And also, Happy New Year, everybody. It's a little late, but that's okay. All right.
Keep it creepy, guys. Bye.
Yep. Bye.
Two Creepy Bees is edited by Tyler Lidwell Videography. Theme music composed by Thomas Obernesser. If you enjoy this podcast and all things creepy, you can find us on your favorite listening forum, where if you want to support us, you can like, review, and subscribe. Check out Two Creepy Bees on Instagram, Facebook, and Pinterest. You can also drop us an email at twocreepybeespodcast@gmail.com. And finally, check out our website at twocreepybees.com. And remember, keep it creepy.